Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. We are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort Casino. Man, love Wednesdays. I love how the hour begins. We go out to the Progressive Guest Line. Wednesdays with Vito's son, the great Sal Palantonio here on the program. Look, we have to get right into it. Pleasure as always, my man. You were in Denver for the Broncos and the Bills. You watched everything unfold during the game, after the game, what was taking place. Your opinion, your thoughts on the Bills whacking Sean McDermott.
Well, listen, I've seen a lot of football games in the postseason where the Bills were bounced out in Kansas City, in Buffalo, and this particular game. And I've covered the NFL now for 34 years. I've never seen a player so inconsolable after the game as Josh Allen coming up to the podium. I'm sitting right there in front of him when he comes to the podium, and he starts bawling his brains out that he let the team down. So if the quarterback, who had four turnovers, and the team, who had five, let the team down, why are you firing the coach? I don't get it. Now, if you're the owner and you want to say, guys, if you want to say, listen, we need a new voice in the locker room, I get that. That happens all the time. If you remember the Tampa Bay Bucks, they fired Tony Dungy after another loss in the playoffs. Dungy couldn't get him over the hump. They brought in John Gruden. And what was their reasoning at the time? I remember covering it. Their reasoning at the time, the Glazers said, we think we need a new voice in the locker room that the players will respond to. And they went out and they won the Super Bowl the following year with John Gruden as the head coach in Tampa. Just say that. That's okay. We will get that. But don't tell me that you fired the coach because the quarterback was crying. That's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I also want your thoughts on, there was a report that Pegula and Bean were upset when McDermott questioned how good the roster is. I think McDermott has a case there. I think Allen's the whole team.
Well, of course Allen's the whole team. That's the narrative that we've been talking about all year long, that he has to put his cape on.
Yeah.
He's Superman, and he has to carry a team with a bad roster. The last time I looked, he's got a GM and an owner that's put the roster together. You know, listen, I've known Sean McDermott since he was in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit biased. I'm going to say that. I've known the guy for 25 years. He's an upstanding guy. He's a tremendous coach. But the bottom line is they haven't won the big games. So it's okay to move on from a coach. I'm not saying that it's not the right move. All I'm saying is just don't put it on Sean McDermott and say, well, we had a bad roster because of Sean McDermott.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The quarterback was crying because of Sean McDermott. The quarterback turned the ball over because of Sean McDermott. You know, the running back, James Cook, had one of the worst turnovers I've ever seen in a playoff game. They are marching down the field. I remember saying this on ESPN Radio halftime interview. They're marching down the field. And I've seen Sean Payton with his arms folded many times before on the sideline. His lips pursed. He's really angry. The crowd at Mile High is out of it. It's dead silence. They're marching down the field, and James Cook gets blown up by Alex Singleton. Is that Sean McDermott's fault? No way.
No, that's well said. Okay, you've been covering the league for 34 years. I think I have it that you've been hosting the matchup show since, what, 2004?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's so good in how you guys break down these games. Based on the overall matchups, let's begin AFC title game. It's on a Wednesday here. You got a couple of days yet. However, no more Bo Nix. He's replaced by Jared Stidham. How do you think this matchup goes?
Well, you know, I am host of the matchup show and have been for two decades. But these championships, these playoffs, the biggest story is not matchups. It's not personnel. Last week I told you about the fourth quarter lead changes, record number of them. I got a number for you right now. It's going to blow you away. The biggest story of the NFL playoffs is not X's and O's. It's not Jimmy's and Joe's. It's the record number of turnovers.
That's right. Absolutely.
In these NFL playoffs, there have been 38 total turnovers. That's the most in a quarter century in the playoffs in the NFL. And 33 of the 38 have been by quarterbacks. In a divisional round alone, gentlemen, think about this. Last weekend alone, in four games, there were 20 turnovers, the most in a divisional round in this century. And 17 of the 20 turnovers were by quarterbacks. I've never seen this kind of epidemic level of turnovers where you may have a great game plan. You got great personnel. You got it all set up for a win. And then whack, Alex Singleton knocks the ball out of your running back's arms, completely pivots the momentum in the game. C.J. Stroud goes into the game with arguably the best defense in the last 10 years in the NFL. We can agree they're pretty darn good. And he just blows up his football team, gives the ball away to the point where my colleague Troy Aikman is saying during the game, it's time for some hard conversations between D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud. Well, you know what? I love Troy Aikman, and he's totally right. But those conversations need to happen before the playoffs start, not after you're already blown up and out of the playoffs. What's the reason why you had this record number of turnovers? Reckless play by the quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence, C.J. Stroud, Josh Allen. Poor coaching, Ben Johnson, D'Amico Ryans, Sean McDermott, Kyle Shanahan. You're not protecting your quarterback properly. Kyle Shanahan is front and center on that, and it happens every year. So if you're the Houston Texans, and now you're the Denver Broncos, you've got a guy who's never been in this position before. It's completely uncharted territory with Jared Stidham, completely uncharted. You have to have a game plan that says, what are you doing first? Well, we are going to load up the box and protect this young man, number one. If we can't block him with five, we better be blocking him with six. If we can't do it with six, we better be blocking him with three tight ends. We better have a plan to block for Jared Stidham. Two, we better run the football. They are getting J.K. Dobbins back, apparently, but we'll have to see how good he is. But Harvey and Dobbins must run the football in this football game because Stidham is not a runner. He's not a threat to run. He's a drop-back quarterback. So they are going to load up the box. You watch Mike Vrabel in New England will load up the box and say, okay, guys, run the ball on us, and we will stop the run, and we will try to make Stidham beat us. I don't think he can. I don't think this can happen. I think there's a game plan out there where maybe if everything goes right, the Broncos can upset the New England Patriots, but I don't see it happening. I really don't.
Very good. Great setup. I'm with you. The other thing, miscommunication and quarterbacks refuse to take a sack on a lot of these plays as well. So I think I know where you're headed based on that setup in the NFC. Hello, Darnold led the league in turnovers. Are you taking the Rams?
Right, and he led the league in turnovers, but he didn't turn the ball over in the first playoff game. That was key. At least Mike, and here's where Mike McDonald has done a great job coaching this football team. He realizes he's got one game to get into the Super Bowl. He's not going to let his quarterback destroy that opportunity. He basically didn't have Darnold do very much in the game at all.
Yeah.
In the divisional round, he basically took him out of it. Why? Because of the point that you just made. He led the NFL among all quarterbacks with turnovers, but he didn't turn the ball over. And this playoffs, at least McDonald recognized it and has saw what happened in the wild card round and now the divisional round. These playoffs are about one thing and one thing over, quarterbacks turning the ball over. So take Sam Darnold out of the game and basically just run the football and let your defense take over.
Okay. So you have it bookmarked here as a Seahawks-Patriots Super Bowl, yeah?
Unless we see some crazy heroics by Matthew Stafford or unless Sam Darnold turns the ball over. Yep, I do. I really do. I think that defense right now is playing at a super high level at all three phases of the game and at all three levels. They get after the quarterback with four down linemen. They have a great bull rush up the middle. They'll get in Matthew Stafford's face. they will have to bracket coverage Puka Nacua and hope that Davante Adams doesn't beat them. Mm-hmm. But I think they're equipped to do that. I do like the Seahawks defense at home in this game. The Rams went through an unbelievably difficult trip to Chicago. That was a hard game to win. And if Caleb Williams doesn't turn the ball over at the end, they lose that game. So, mm-hmm. I mean, to me, I'm going to just say it. If Darnold doesn't turn the ball over, the Seahawks win the game. We can agree on that, right?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you one thing, and we're up against it like 30 seconds here. Do you think they were trying to hide him last week because of the oblique?
You know, it was on the other side. It wasn't on his throwing side. I don't think so. No.
Okay.
No. If you're asking me, do I know for sure? You're asking me my opinion. I don't think they were trying to hide him because of the oblique. I think they were trying to limit his ability to hurt them because of what you mentioned. Uh-huh. He led all quarterbacks in turnovers. I mean, these numbers are astounding, guys.
Yeah, you're right.
Come on.
Yeah.
38 turnovers in these playoffs, the most in a quarter century.
It was ridiculous.
It's all about the quarterbacks turning the ball over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have these inexperienced quarterbacks being coached poorly, and that's the bottom line. And McDonald has figured it out.
Sal Pell, you're the best. Great analysis as always. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sal Pelantonio, covering the league, 34 years, ESPN on the Progressive Guest Line. He likes Seahawks, Patriots. Up next, you're going to hear a guy who has worked with a lot of quarterbacks over his career make the case and say the Broncos have extreme confidence in Jared Stidham.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Coming up at 15, Mike Palm going to join the program. VP, Circa Las Vegas, the Golden Gate, and the D. What'd you make of Sal Pal's breakdown there? All about the turnovers. Again, to reiterate, 33 of the 38 turnovers so far in the playoffs have been by the quarterback position. And I did not I know we had a lot last week. I didn't look at the overall numbers to add it up, but 20 last week in the four games.
Was that's ridiculous.
Pretty alarming.
Yep. It was bad quarterback play. Also, I would say the miscommunication that happened, we saw it not only in the playoffs of the NFL, we saw it in the title game in college with what happened late with Beck. But that was a big talking point again with the Bears, with what happened with Moore and Williams, the C.J. Stroud debacle. It was also flipped, as I mentioned Monday, surprising, because the Bears and Texans were 1-2 and fewest turnovers. And yet the Bears turned it over three times and the Texans turned it over seven times in the two playoff games. So that will decide it on Sunday. Who doesn't beat themselves and what quarterback could lose his mind? That's an interesting way to break it down. Or yeah. Coach.
Sammy D had four on his own the first time they played the Rams.
Yes.
And they still could have won the game.
So low scoring game the first time and then the 38-37 classic on the Thursday night game. I would lean more towards low scoring and like the first meeting.
As would I,
yeah.
Because I don't think the Rams are going to have like 580 yards of offense. I know the game went to overtime, but they did a lot of that, obviously, in regulation. I'm glad you brought up Beck for 1 second. This was an incredible tweet from David Hale after the game. He called Carson Beck. He said that he has a complicated... Did you see this tweet?
No.
Complicated legacy.
Yeah.
He lost only six games in his college career. In four of them, the final offensive play was a Beck interception with a chance to win the game.
Really?
That's you're going to lose sleep over that over and over and over again.
Ooh.
That stinks. Yeah, you don't want to feel bad for the kid like that.
Yeah.
So, all right, this is how do you want to set this up with Jordan Palmer?
So, Jordan Palmer, brother of Carson, played a couple years in the NFL and then became all about quarterbacks. An NFL draft training center, founder of the Quarterback Summit, tutored players like Mahomes, Allen, Darnold, Burrow, Nix, director of quarterback development for the XFL in August 20 of 22. An interesting guy. came up, invested in the app RunP, where you would check your phone if you're in the movie theater and it would tell you the appropriate time about, hey, it's slow now. If you want to go to the bathroom, this is the time to do it. An interesting guy, but he is confident here in what the Broncos think of Stidham and how we can succeed on Sunday. Here's his analysis.
Boy, I hate the way that he's getting his first start. You know, I've known Bo Nix since he was a little guy, since he was a sophomore in high school, and I'm such a fan of what Bo's done. I think Stidham, not right now, but for the last two or three years, is one of the best kept secrets, most unknown, high-quality player, insert other line that makes sense and is congruent with those statements. But I don't think anybody knows until this weekend how good Jarrett Stidham is. So he was drafted in the fourth round in New England to back up Brady. And that offense at that time, it was not just Tom Brady being a great player. That was like year nine, I believe. It was year 9 or 11 of Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady running that offense together.
Mm-hmm.
And the Brady at that time was in year whatever, 16, 17, something like that. Okay. So when you have a fourth round pick rookie come in and win the number two job, it is not because you throw it good. It's because you learned the offense. It's because we can actually put you in a game and you can run our offense. He played a little bit, didn't play well in New England. But what happened when Josh McDaniels got the head coaching job with Raiders? The first transaction was trading for Jarrett Stidham. Then when he goes to Denver and he's there, and then you got Russell kind of sliding, and then you got Sean Payton coming in. I mean, they paid him $15 million to go there. I don't know, but I think he's like one of the highest paid backups in the league. Okay? And then last year, I can't say who, but there was a team that offered a pretty good ransom for him to trade, and they wouldn't trade him. They know what they got there. Mm-hmm. I think if Drake May and Jarrett Stidham both play at their best, I don't think it's much different. And I don't really see Jarrett having a floor, because the two starts that he did have in the Raiders, we can say, are irrelevant. But he shredded the he shredded the Chiefs, and then he shredded the Niners. And those are the two teams that played in the Super Bowl that year.
Well, I have the numbers right now. In the game against the 49ers.
That was good.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
And the Niners were, like, phenomenal. All their numbers were, like, top three, top five on defense that year, right? 23 of 34 for 365. That is 10.7 yards per attempt. Three touchdowns, picked off twice. And he ran seven times for 34 yards. They lost that game in overtime, 37-34. I remember watching the game with Niners fans. You're like, what the hell's going on right now?
Yeah.
And it was 85-15 Niners fans, because they overtake stadiums.
Right. Correct.
And the kid was awesome. The following week against Kansas City, that was the game I was at. He was 22 of 36 for 219, a touchdown and an INT. So, okay, didn't shred him.
No.
But he was okay against that team. And so I got to say, overall, not bad. But that's also, we're going back 3 years now.
And you're with a bad team, didn't have much to work with, and as opposed to this team being the one seed. And they're down some guys, but it also comes back to, can you run the ball on New England? I say no.
I don't
say, like our guest said yesterday, that they're not, Peyton doesn't have patience. So it comes down to Stidham if he can beat them through the air.
And they're also, they're wide receivers. Maybe they get good news this week. Wide receivers got banged up a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Sutton, like, I don't know what that was. But that was Bo Nix playing quarterback.
I can't.
Sutton didn't have his first catch until late in the game.
Yeah. I can absolutely see the breakdown where what he's saying is like the point spread's crazy because there's not a drop off. And how Nix made some nice throws, but Nix also had a rough year. And how he struggled against bad teams. Now, your comeback is he was shining when they played the big games, but there's a luck factor with them too. They're 12-2 in one score games.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a three-point game either way, and quite frankly, it could come down to the final field goal attempt at the gun.
Well, there's no question he'll trust him, though. He does trust him, and he will trust him to throw the ball, number one, because he doesn't like to run it, and he certainly knows the offense, and he'll come out there and won't be afraid to throw it.
Well, how about that? Again, he threw the ball 72 times, 70 times overall in those final two games.
Uh-huh.
Now, circumstances were clearly different, playing with a bad team in the Raiders at that time, but that's Peyton doesn't – it doesn't matter who the quarterback is going to be. He is going to throw the ball first and foremost.
This is a
Nix led the league in a I couldn't believe that stat.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
This is a juicier matchup now with the Stidham angle. Could he pull this off?
Because of the unknown?
Yeah, and win the Super Bowl.
Does that mean that you would like the Nuggets, the Broncos a lot if they had Bo Nix? Because that line was only like 1.5, I can see where that question makes some sense because of where you're going with it.
Yeah.
Because we don't know.
Well, it goes also back to what Sal Pell said. I mean, the Bills beat themselves. Who expected that? Who expects Allen to turn the ball over that many times? And for Stroud to be worse than he was against Pittsburgh, and for the Bears, big reason why they won all these games was the turnover differential. They were -3.
Yeah. I got to say, though, is it that question about this being a more interesting matchup because of the Knicks injury? I don't know, man. Knicks looked pretty good last week.
Yeah, but it's also, I think it's wild if the backup can come in and win the Super Bowl, kind of like the Hostetler thing. And if the guy's able to pull, they're like 14-1 to win the Super Bowl in some spots.
Or just go to the Super Bowl.
They're hosting the AFC title game.
Right. What would you do that, by the way? Do you think, my God, that's absolutely crazy? They're hosting the AFC title game. I have to take some 15-1 to win the Super Bowl. I would say that if you're going to bet that number right now on the Broncos, you have to just bet it and then let it go. Because what if they are? What if they squeak by and it's ugly, like a 16-13 kind of game, and the winner of the NFC looks fantastic, and that spreads like 8 or 9? What do you want to do then? You want to come back and lay $5 on the money line the other way, whatever it might be, Super Bowl, so it could be a little bit lower than that?
Mm-hmm.
Just got to bet 15-1 and hope to God that Stidham's going to be good enough to win the whole thing.
Well, you know, he's making the case there. Like, there's a 1A and a 1B, and that certainly happened before. You know, I remember going back as a Viking fan. I said, Randy Moss is so good, any quarterback will put up numbers just throwing a jump ball to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Culpepper got hurt, and Gus Frat came in, and they won every game, and he put up ridiculous numbers. He was just playing catch. And then the guy I went to college with, Todd Bauman, played and threw 5 touchdown passes in a game from a Division II school, and he was never heard from again.
Yeah. Was Culpepper a good quarterback?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah,
there certainly wasn't a drop-off at all, because every quarterback who then played when he got hurt put up numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Gus Frat was unbelievable when he was in there. Todd Bauman threw 5 touchdown passes in a game.
Yeah, he's basically the best weapon we've ever seen play. So, what happened when he went to the Patriots the first year? All-time records across the board, should have been
That's
undefeated
right.
for the entire year.
Good soundbite, though. Interesting. Something to chew on for the game. And I think that I can put you on some Denver futures as well. Get ready to win a larger-than-life World Soccer Championship experience only at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. One lucky winner gets a 2-night stay, a cabana for the games, $500 in credit, $250 in food and beverage, limo transportation, cocktails at Legacy Club. Enter now, kick off the World Soccer Championship at Circa Resort and Casino. For giveaway details, visit CircaLasVegas.com. Get up there now. Incredible package and incredible larger-than-life experience. Enter now, get up there.
You can always tweet the show at VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Pauly Howard. Mike Palm on the program next, VP Circa Las Vegas. He told me, quote, all I want for Christmas, end of quote, when he heard who this team interviewed for their head coach opening.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Good to have you on board here on a Wednesday as the Maestro joins us in studio. Mike Palm, VP of Circa Las Vegas, the Golden Gate, and the D. Mike, good afternoon. How are you?
Hello, Mitch. Hello, Paul. Great to see you.
You will have more on the whole Terry Pegula, Brandon Bean / Sean McDermott situation coming up, and you cannot be serious in about 15 minutes. You're the perfect guy to ask about this. For those who have been with the show, the network, for a long time, they're well aware of this. For those who are new to it, I mean, we used to do a segment called No Hyperbole, and Anthony Lynn would make it every single week without fail when he was the coach of the Chargers. So now with the Bills firing McDermott, the news came out today that they're, now I get it, it's the Rooney rule. You got to talk to a lot of people. They're going to interview him about the gig.
Is this really happening? Am I dreaming or is this happy? I mean, this is all I want for Christmas is Anthony. Don't you remember the game he coached at Buffalo a couple years ago when he was the Chargers head coach? They had the ball on the 2-yard line, needed a touchdown to win it, no timeouts, and he ran the ball on first down and limited him to one other
That's
play.
Right. That's right.
Remember,
yeah.
Didn't spike it, didn't throw it out, didn't throw. He ran the ball, and then they only had one other play left. He had terrible at the end of the first half. I could go on and on. I mean, he was one of the highlights of no hyperbole through the years, and I don't know if it's a Rooney thing or not, but, boy, I mean, if this Dr. Mengele, David Gazzaniga, doesn't puncture Tyrod Taylor's young, I mean, Herbert's still holding the clipboard in San Diego for Anthony Lynn. Yeah. This is a dream come true for everyone if this could happen.
poor Justin Herbert early in his career.
Well, now you have to say, was it them or was it him? Is it always somebody else?
Okay. All right.
That's is it always somebody else? Is it Harbaugh now?
No, it was Roman. They did the right thing.
It was Roman.
And the offensive
line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you think they're going to be a popular play next year because McDaniel now is the OC?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Too popular?
That division's still tough. They can't be. Yeah. They won't get really priced out of it because of the division.
I had his reaction when the Giants talked to Pierce. When I was talking to my Giants source, he was running down the guys they're talking to. Harbaugh, McCarthy. Pierce. I laughed at Big Mike, and then he said, Antonio Pierce, your buddy. I'm like, what are you talking?
Imagine if he ever resurfaced again as NFL head coach.
Yeah, that's a good one. Fourth and inches from the 35, 36, got a punt.
Let's punt it every single time.
Every time. They did it 7 times against the Colts in a game they needed to get the wild card.
Yep. Early sharp money / your opinions on these two games?
Yeah, Seattle. A little early on Seattle. I don't know. I have a Rams ticket from when they were going to trade Stafford. So I think I'm just going to let that ride in that. I think it'll be a good game. Can Darnold come through in the clutch? I mean, he wasn't terrific against San Francisco. I mean, they got the ball rolling downhill with the kick. And then the turnovers, and then they get the big lead, and then San Francisco was kind of inching their way back into the game, and then the touchdown sort of ended it. I think Denver's live here. I don't know what Stidham's going to be like. I personally would have gone out. Can you sign Rivers? Is Rivers eligible?
No. You can get Drew Brees, though.
And get somebody that just won't turn the ball over and throw a bunch of little short passes. I think the pass rush at Denver is good enough to get to May, who will turn the ball over. He has no pocket awareness. You watch that game? He doesn't know anybody's on his shoulder or anything like that. I think if that defense can create turnovers, the running game is good enough. The short passing game is good enough. I think the special teams are good enough. I think they're very live in this spot.
I would say, we're talking about this before the break as well, or in the break, if the Broncos front cannot get to May or they're not a nuisance to him, he's going to probably destroy them.
Well, Josh Allen, I mean, they went up and down the field on him. It's the turnovers that beat him.
Right.
I think this defense has been lit up a little bit. I think it's a little bit overrated. Outside of the rush, they can't really hold up on the back end. So that's the whole game. The whole game is, can they pass protect for me?
Okay, so Derek Stevens on the program yesterday. He said the outcome for the book here on the national title game and in the future market was pretty good. Good results overall with the way that game finished and for the night, right? Indiana winning but not covering the game.
It was really strange the way we took it. We ended up needing Indiana by 1-6. That was it. If Miami would have won the game, it was still okay. But if Indiana would have won by 8 or more, it was not a good result. And this is with taking $1 million bet on Indiana on the money line and losing $300,000 of that. The result was still very positive.
Right. Okay. So we kicked around yesterday, like a lot of people, like looking ahead to next season. How do you like make a case for a team right now? Now you have a university suing a quarterback, right? This case
is going to be huge, Mitch. We're talking about Duke suing their quarterback, who they won the ACC with, because he entered the transfer portal at the last day, but his NIL deal commits him to the end of 2026, so he has to play another season with Duke. They went to court to get an injunction for him not to be able to enter the portal. The judge says, I can't do that. But they're going to try to enforce this contract, meaning they're not going to allow him to go play somewhere else. But can they? All these universities have these arm-length relationships with NIL. We knew that when we got into the whole thing with UNLV. This committee, now it's an NIL. It's not, directly the university tries to stay at arm's length. And I don't know if these contracts are enforceable from the university standpoint. This is going to be a very interesting case and define this NIL era.
Well, don't you think, like, if it's in writing somehow, if it's, like, technically a contract?
Yeah, but who's the contract with? The contract with the person that gave the money? Is the contract with the car dealership? Who's the contract with? The university's not paying the kid. The sponsor's paying the
kid.
Right,
yeah.
So who's the plaintiff? Who has standing? Tobin Dodge? I don't know here.
I can't imagine like it's going to be like this 20 years from now.
No,
right?
What we'll do is we'll have regulation. And the NCAA is going to step in and say, you have to have this, and you have to have all these parameters around NIL. Because right now it's the Wild West. There's no parameters around it.
Did you see the judge originally was a Duke basketball season ticket holder?
Oh, boy.
Really?
So you got all kinds of things going on here in scenarios.
Yeah, fantastic lies.
We almost had this with Williams, what we had, too.
Which Williams?
Washington.
Oh, yeah, there
he changed his mind when he came to his senses. Or that would have got ugly, too. But we're in a dangerous period right now. Look at what's going on in basketball. The kid at Baylor, and now what could happen at Alabama? I mean, the guy signed several contracts in the NBA. Now he's trying to come back and say,
ridiculous.
I can play with Alabama?
Mm-hmm. You get D-League players.
Unbelievable.
Kid Louisville, that's the kid. I mean, like Calipari said, they're using the NIL to make their alimony payments.
Well, then, so do you think Cignetti was right then? When he said basically after the game, it is open, and if you do it the correct way, like anybody can make a run?
Well, but you know, he took a bunch of kids that weren't recruited by other people. I mean, let's not forget that there's a great coaching job that went on here. Mendoza wasn't sought after by the world. I mean, he took these kids that were average kids and got them to play as a team at a very high level. And can he do that again? Can he get another bumper crop? Can he identify two stars that are really four-star athletes and do that again? I don't think he would ever go to the NFL. I know people text me, should an NFL team take a run at him? I think he's built for the college game. He worked his life to get a D1 job. Now, would he take a bigger job than Indiana? Maybe. At a program where it might be easier for him to recruit? Possibly. I don't know, though.
I'll tell you another thing that feels almost like the Wild Wild West is how baseball teams can get away with these contracts.
This Tucker thing is going to be a lockout. I'm going to tell you right now, this $60 million for Tucker that the Dodgers paid, this whole situation that baseball did to itself by allowing them to keep all their TV money because McCourt was going through bankruptcy and they made this one-off deal where no other team, every other team has to share their TV money, not the Dodgers, mm-hmm. and they're the second biggest market behind the Yankees. They can pay anybody anything they want. These owners are going to demand a salary cap. The players won't accept it, and they're going to lock them out after this season. And this Tucker is the start of the lockout, I'm telling you.
I mean, first of all, we all know this. They don't need him,
no.
Right? So, but yet, here's $60
million $60
million
for a guy that doesn't want to be a superstar. We saw it in Chicago. He's the reluctant. He doesn't want any media. I now understand why Houston let him go. I kept saying, why would the Astros let this guy go? He's going to be an MVP in this league.
Right.
And then the Chicago experience, we understand why. But every contract is ludicrous. Toronto's going out and spending money for everybody, but they didn't want Bichette, but the Mets want to pay $42 million a year? What's wrong with that picture?
Uh-huh.
That's red flags there. Everything is so exaggerated. It's gonna end up being a lockout. Enjoy baseball this season.
Is that going to be a good thing down the road?
I think eventually it'll lead to more competitive balance to have a cap. If the penalties are punitive enough, I mean, because the Dodgers will just spend whatever. They have so much money because of the TV.
And I get the other people who will come out and say, well, look, I mean, blame the other teams. Don't blame the Dodgers because they have the money as well. I would also fight back and say, that's great, but maybe the Yankees didn't want to give Kyle Tucker $60 million a year or the Mets. I wouldn't.
Who would?
I wouldn't. There's no
way. 60's not even in the ballpark
no,
for me.
No, God, no. I'd laugh at that.
I read this and I said it's wrong.
That's what I thought.
It's like when I saw the headline, Bo Nix out for season. I thought it was a joke. Nobody else was reporting it.
I had to click on Schefter's Twitter bio like two or three times. I'm like, this has to be a fake one. This is a parody account, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, what did Jensen Lewis say? Their tax penalty is more than what 11, 12 teams' payroll is.
I believe so, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't matter to them.
He said the lockout's coming, no doubt. Yep.
No doubt. You could bet it. If you could bet it somewhere, bet it.
You
legally.
Could. You
he was saying that at dinner at the College World Series. Yeah. He said, lock it up. They're not having baseball.
Yep. So would you do cross-sport parlays with the Dodgers, NL, or World Series?
The price is so ridiculous.
Too early, I know.
Mm. But it's minus 7,500 to make the playoffs. Think about that. Think about that. $6 to win the division. Think about that in a sport where nobody wins 60% of their games.
What are you going to do if the win total is 105?
Well, this year was an easy under, wasn't it?
Yeah.
These teams get bored through long stretches of the season.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, spend $129. You get 2 pounds of wings, 50% off site-wide, omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Phenomenal. Delivered right to your door. Check out the menu. The options are fantastic. omahasteaks.com/VSiN.
A bizarre situation with the Buffalo Bills and their head coaching spot all the way around. Mike Palm will elaborate next in You Cannot Be Serious. We continue here Wednesdays with the Maestro, Mike Palm, VP Circa Las Vegas. Time now for You Cannot Be Serious.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Well, let's start up in Buffalo. Terry Pegula, owner of the Bills. Now, the Pegulas are not loved by the Sabres fans, and nobody likes that Silver Spoon tennis player. But the move he made this week in firing Doug McDermott certainly was strange. That's just the first part of this. But he says after he went into the locker room and Josh Allen was crying and he tried to talk to Josh Allen and Josh Allen wouldn't acknowledge him, he knew he had to fire John McDermott. I don't know if that's the right reasoning. I've never been the biggest McDermott fan. You can make an argument. They won a playoff game in six straight years. But let's leave that aside. How about the second part of this deal? He's going to promote the GM, Brandon Bean, to now president of the team and say the path to success forward is giving Bean more control. Bean has developed a roster that's been championship talent for talent level for years. Are you kidding me? When's the last time you said, oh, that great Buffalo Bills defense? When have we talked about all the dynamic receivers that they've gotten for Josh Allen? No, they haven't. And they're going to promote this guy? I would have fired him before I fired McDermott. How about this? Since he drafted Josh Allen, Bean has drafted 59 other players. Only two of them have made a Pro Bowl. Dawson Knox, the tight end, and James Cook, the running back. This is the more mind-numbing thing that he could promote Bean that he fired McDermott. Terry Pegula.
You cannot be serious.
Let's go to another GM. How about Chris Drury and his open letter to all the season ticket holders with the Rangers? We're going to retool. We are not going to rebuild. Some of our veteran players may be on the trading blocks. We're going to keep our core intact. The results have been disappointing. Give us a little time. A little time. They're last in the East with 48 points, 21-24-6. How about at home? 5-13-4, and they've scored 0 or 1 goals 10 times during that stretch. They've been pathetic. They've been absolutely pathetic. And he comes out with this open letter, all we need to do is retool. We don't need to rebuild. Why? Are you close? Is last place close? Is not being able to score a goal at home close? I've never seen a more disparate cry from a GM who said, I failed at my job to construct a roster, and so I'm being proactive to beg you to give me one more chance. Chris Drury.
You cannot be serious.
All right. People won't like this take. Ben Johnson, everybody loved the hire. I said, slow your roll. Certainly ahead of expectations this year to win the division. That was my question. If you love the hire, will they win the division in the next 3 years? Nobody wanted to say yes, but they did this year. Terrific results. But once again, in the playoff game, he has an effective turnover margin of 0-6. Same thing as against the Packers. Same thing. Bears, 3 interceptions and 3-for-6 on fourth down. Rams, no turnovers and 1-for-1, just like the Packers. No turnovers. How can you win the game? He lost the game to me in the first 3 minutes. You drive to the 21, you have 4th-and-2, you don't post the score and take the lead. Nobody wants to talk about the first possession of the game. If they take those 3 points, the whole game's different. You could have taken 3 points again with 3 minutes to go and been down one. Or even if you went for it there, you get the ball back and the touchdown wins you the game. And in the pandemonium of that ludicrous play where Williams goes back 12 yards and throws the ball up in the air and you score, and the whole world is in a state of shock, guess what? So is the Rams defense. He goes every single time and refuses to punt. He won't go for 2 to win the game. He won't go for it. And you know what he said? Well, I thought about it, but we hadn't been good in goal-to-go situations. Our plan hadn't gone to it. The Bears are 57% on going for 2 this year. You know the league, what the league average was in 2024 on 2? 41%. And this year was up to 44%. They're well above the league average. McVay was happy they didn't go for 2. I'm not criticizing the whole job he did this year. No, I can't do that. But not kicking the field goal on the opening drive and not going for 2. Ben Johnson.
You cannot be serious.
All right. Not high on him, huh?
I don't care. The guy in Buffalo, the GM, is a joke. What has he done to construct a role? What has he done to get help?
Well, it's like Mitch said today. So Pegula interrupts the reporter and says, I'll address the Coleman situation. The
coaching staff, McDermott.
Hold on. The coaching staff pushed to draft Keon. I'm not saying Brandon wouldn't have drafted him. And they like, he's still on the team, though. That's the other thing.
Right.
And then we showed that video, which was awesome, where it seemed like it was the opposite of what happened, that it was Bean who was sold on Coleman. And McDermott wanted no part of this. But
you made a great point. How does that make Coleman feel?
How are OTAs going to go? That feels a little bit like the Kuminga situation right now in Golden State. You might as well open the phone lines and say, anybody
yeah, right.
want the guy?
Yeah, right.
And deal him.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how you're going to suck that one up.
Yeah. But I echo Mike's sentiments about this is not a great roster. And the fact that with McDermott, they soured on McDermott because he brought it up in a meeting where it's your top wide receiver, Shakir, and these two tight ends who are never healthy.
the big move was to get the sociopath Diggs.
Yeah.
That was the big move, right?
That's right. The big move to help out Allen in the passing game. But you're walking through the locker room, all these men who I think it's actually kind of refreshing rather than ho-hum, not a big deal, I'll see you next year.
Yeah.
They're clearly impacted by the loss emotionally.
Well, because they played good enough to win, Mitch. They did play good enough to win. They mishandled the end of the first half. The giving away the three points was
terrible,
awful.
Terrible.
Turnovers. And then I have to tell you, I watched the play many times. I do think that's a catch. He's got two hands on the ball. The hand's on his stomach. His back's on the ground. He's being touched. I get it. But the fact that they didn't even take a look at it, that McDermott had to call a timeout and say, can you look at the play? Mm-hmm.
You're the big rules guy here. Mm-hmm. I was absolutely livid in real time what was going on there. Now, yes, I had Bills in pocket. But regardless, I'm like, there's no way you can make the decision that fast.
Everybody expected you to stop. They're already out there with the play clock running down.
Let's go. Come on. First down, Denver. Come on. We got places to be. No, nobody in the world knew within a flash whether or not that was a catch, incomplete, INT. Come on, slow it down a little bit.
And no hand of a makeup call. Every 50-50 call went against them the rest of the game.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, good call. By the way, going back a couple weeks, your plays on the NHL card here on the show have been really, really good. What are you looking at tonight?
You know which goalie has the highest save percentage when up one goal in games?
Well, that's a hardcore question.
John Gibson. Might surprise you. John Gibson. I like Joe Woll on a bounce back here tonight in this rivalry game between the Red Wings and the Maple Leafs. I went under six here. I expect good goaltending performance out of both. Is there anybody tanking more in sports right now than the Canucks since they traded Hughes? I think they've lost 13 to 14. They're not close in these games. I'll take the Capitals and Thompson on the puck line.
Wow.
Plus 150 tonight in Vancouver. And their three top players are all being shopped around, too. I mean, this is a total teardown. You're looking at a 3 to 5 year rebuild for the Canucks. And I continue to see these teams going to the mountain times and playing the mammoth. And it's so hard at elevation. And to play those two fast teams like that, I know this is the first half of it. I played a little bit on Mammoth at home tonight against the Flyers on the puck line as well. And then the Flyers, of course, are in Denver on Friday night. We can look to play against them, but you probably have to lay a puck and a half to get even money.
Yeah. Well, some of those numbers at home when Colorado's playing, forget about it.
Yeah.
First goal in first 10, first period over, game over for Ottawa and the Rangers. Neither has any goaltending at all.
Yeah, right away last night in the Rangers game.
It's just automatic.
Automatic, boom.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so your gut reaction yesterday, again, Derek was in. He gave his thoughts on it. But the whole talk from the Patriots owner, Robert Kraft, Mike Florio was chiming in. They're going to go to 18 games.
That's inevitable. When they went to 17, why would you have an odd number schedule, 9 home, 8? We knew that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The players will want another bye with the extra game.
Let's be honest, they deserve one.
And I don't think the owners can complain. You spread out the revenue. Is that a bad deal? For us, it's good. Get rid of the preseason that doesn't do anything for you. Add two more weeks of regular season. It helps us with Survivor. Maybe we can get rid of the Christmas.
Oh, Derek said no.
Oh, stop. No, what? Now what? 22-0 and
yes.
Christmas? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck using the Jets.
How about 20-0? We eliminate the preseason entirely. 20 regular season games.
I would like that.
Okay.
I would like that at all. But here's what I don't like. The international games suck.
Every week.
People here in Las Vegas don't want to get up at 6 a.m. to watch a game on Sunday morning after they've been having a good time Saturday night.
They're not getting past that. It's going to be every week.
They got to grow the brand globally, right?
Yeah. Get used to it. Just
China will be everywhere.
Everywhere.
Australia.
Everywhere.
Moon,
right?
The moon.
So we're going to have games from 9:30 Eastern until, how late do they go on the East Coast? 11:30 at night?
Yeah, so 8:30, 8:45 out here.
Good 14 hours every single day. Yeah. I think, imagine this, a 20-game schedule, no preseason games. What are we doing when we get Brady Cook against Spencer Rattler and both teams are 1-9? And then these teams have to play out the string for half the season yet. That's a bad look right there, isn't it?
That's a good point. It's already a bad look. A lot of these teams are out of it in week 7.
Yes. So a 20-game schedule, these teams are going to be out of it. They'll be out of it by week 7 then. Week 10, they have no chance. They're going to be, oh, boy.
I'm excited for the tailgate show already. Can't wait.
We have 6 months of tailgate shows.
It'd be great.
Yeah. Year-round. Just nonstop.
I know.
All right, Michael. Good luck with the bets tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll discuss tonight's NBA card. Favorites are undefeated when these two teams play. And have covered 12 out of those 14 wins. Find out the matchup coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.